WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. thespiritualun.org.
Just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelichek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. I just finished a book. Called The Leopard Tree. I think it was supposed to be for young adult audiences, won an award or two a couple years back. I found that youth novels I've read recently are often better written than their adult counterparts. For one thing, they don't bore me with all that explicit sex stuff. You know, I prefer certain things to be left to the imagination. And believe me, I have quite an imagination. I read a lot. More than I can really spare time for. It's currently my worst addiction, I think. I end up reading when I should be spending time with my wife, reading when I should be working, reading when I should be sleeping. I used to be this way when I was a kid. It seems to have returned full force. Best thing I knew is to go along for the ride. I try to write up a little something about what I feel when I can. Better than some of the other things that have taken my time from the things I ought to be doing over years. But, well, we won't go into that just now. Back to the book. It was written by Tim Merriman and Lisa Brochu in response to a Clinton Foundation special in Harlem about people living with HIV in Africa. I don't necessarily think too much of the Clintons, but the Clinton Foundation is pretty good, and this book tells a great story. Three children get to know each other in an orphanage in Africa. The people running the orphanage are very nice. They mean well. They aren't getting any help at all from church, government, anybody else. There isn't enough food to go around, and certainly not enough medicine to go around, because there's an awful lot of HIV and AIDS over in Africa. Those three kids, there's something challenging each one of them. Daoudi has spent his whole life HIV positive and hasn't had the medicine since his grandmother died. That's at the beginning of the book. Masozi lost his father, his eyes, and his leg to a landmine. Ramla hasn't spoken since she watched her entire family get murdered and raped by soldiers, all seven. But somehow these three form a bond. And, you know, they end up making a journey, not entirely a legal journey, but they make a journey from Kenya all the way to New York City. Because they've gotten in their mind, they want to ask the UN Secretary General for help, not for themselves, but for the kids of Africa. For most of the trip, they're avoiding the person who kind of put this idea in their head accidentally, who's also a person that most wants to help them, once she figures out that it got away from her in the airport and so forth. She's a photojournalist by the name of Rosa Carson. The children use an old book as their guide. This book that Daoudi has is just about the only thing he still has left from his mamère, his grandmother. That and her memory. Inside his head, she's alive, and she urges him, she keeps on urging him to do something special because he is a special person. You might be wondering what book they might use for this guide. Well, it's The Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And these three kids end up almost taking on the persona of Baum's characters. And their story is intertwined with scenes from the book. They make their way across a world that to them is every bit as strange as Oz was to Dorothy. It's a wonderful book. Inspiring, magical, and terribly sad. All those things at once. Asked what these children could possibly tell the UN that they don't already know, Rosa replies, their message isn't necessarily new. They just want to put a face on the fact. They're a living testimony to raw courage. Their message is that we need to turn the incredible war machine of the U.S. and the rest of the world into a peace crusade so children no longer have to suffer for the ignorance and prejudice of the so-called adults who are the decision makers. How do we make that message heard if it doesn't come from the mouths of those who have to live with the consequences? Those of you who follow this radio show know that this message that Rosa came up with is very similar to the one that we try to bring you week after week. you can help make a difference. All you have to do is listen to the message, listen to all the messages, respond to the world around you. Pass it on, for one thing. You know, actively help people. That never hurts. Remember examples like these kids in this book. Remember their real-life counterparts. And don't let them down. Don't let them just disappear. I have a dream that people in America can live together in peace. I have a dream that people everywhere in the world can live together in peace. I have a dream that we can all cooperate and enrich each other instead of competing and belittling each other. And this is my new American dream. What's yours? And now my friend and co-host, Mike Kalachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we welcome Ben Mansky and Richard Flamer as our special guests. Ben will be talking to us, I think, from Wisconsin. We'll talk to Richard Flamer in Chiapas, Mexico. So we're coming to you tonight from Wisconsin, Chiapas, Fort Lauderdale, and Duluth. I've also got something I've been looking at I like to plug. It's a video called Dark Legacy, JFK and 9/11. It's a new video, part one and part two, put out by Flyby News and Jonathan Mark. And how you get it, I have no idea, but you could Google Dark Legacy, JFK and 9/11, and it's really good. I recommend that. Let's see, the new American dream. What is this all about? The most profound events in the history of mankind are the faking of the moon landings, the CIA overthrows of governments around the world, the murders of JFK, RFK, MLK, Malcolm, Oklahoma City, Waco, the control of the media. It's the whole subversive takeover of the U.S. in the spirit of the Soviet Union. While unlike the people of the Soviet Union, we Americans still believe we are free. All this is more profound than anything else in world history ever. Some say it's goofy, this stuff, not real, conspiracy stuff. And yeah, I'll give you that. It can appear that way, but it's goofy only if you don't read anything. I suppose it's goofy sounding if your sense of reality comes from American Idol, Today's Best Kitchen, America's Biggest Hamburger, Ryan Williams, Katie Couric, Bill O'Reilly, Jim Lehrer. That's the way it was when I was a kid. We watched Gunsmoke, Bewitched, My Favorite Martian, The Flying Nun, Gilligan's Island, and we thought that was all we needed to know about the world. So when they told us Lee Harvey Oswald killed JFK and that James Earl Ray killed Martin Luther King and Sirhan Sirhan killed RFK, we said, okay. And then we went into the kitchen for an ice cream refill. My first inkling about what this country is really about came when I went to the seminary in 1979 up from Nebraska to St. Paul, Minnesota. Dan Berrigan came to speak at McAllister College. He talked about going to prison as a priest and about America and the church. And I told my parish priest, and he said, forget about what Dan Berrigan was saying. I thought it over and over and ended up forgetting about what my parish priest said. My final realization about what this country is really about, what it has become, is when they ruled that Bush won the election by stopping the counting of votes. That was the same year that I ran for Congress in Iowa, Democratic Party. I realized then, of course, that they killed the Kennedys because they can do anything that they want. And you can say that that's conspiracy tinfoil to think like that about the Bushes and the assassinations and such. But I say it's just paying attention. And then there's the Obama election, believing in hope, openness, no wrong questions, truth, becoming the type of people, nation that we always thought we were. It didn't happen, and we have to ask ourselves why. It's one of those questions we are allowed to ask, that we should ask. You have to know that Barack Obama knows the whole truth about the 9/11 attacks. His complicity has lied. He has continued the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan based on a lie, and he knows he's lying. Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. No prosecution of Bush and Cheney. Continue the wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, expanding elsewhere. Nobel Peace Prize winner. Please. For what reason has he acted this way? Who knows? Some say his first job out of college was with the CIA. Do you ever leave the CIA? Ask William Buttley and Peter Matthiessen, Ben Bradley, Bob Woodward. I don't know. But based on Nuremberg or Common Sense or Snoopy or Calvin and Hobbes, Barack Obama is a criminal, just as George Bush and George Bush before him, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, Condoleezza Rice, the whole bunch, and yet they go on living their normal lives. It's wrong and it's frustrating. I really deep down believe in this whole thing. To me, to know the truth about our history is the most important thing, period. If that can happen, I believe the rest takes care of itself, grows legs, as they say. We pay for these lies. Some people struggling with two or three jobs. This lie that the military protects us, this lie that the USA stands for freedom, this lie that it's okay to kill. There is actually a they out there, and there actually is a you and a me, and together we constitute a we. They, Bush, Obama, Clinton, and company, want us to be afraid, as they told us in the anthrax letters in 2001. We can do this, but we cannot be afraid.
Radio show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at TheSpiritualUN.org, and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are. Because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. TheSpiritualUN.org.
Hello.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to public school, to America, to your life. Before we get started, we may as well begin at the beginning. The moon landings were faked. Oh, morning recess. 10:15 sharp. Your coat to line up quietly along the chalkboard when I snap my fingers like this. Oh, the FBI and CIA killed John F. Kennedy, his brother Robert. No peeing in the sandbox. Anybody who does so will live to regret it. Please write Golden Tonkin in black pen only across the top of your head. We'll get to it later. Lunch begins promptly 11:45. But you don't finish by 12 noon, it'll be packed neatly back into your sack or lunchbox and taken home. Nothing stays in the cloakroom overnight, nothing. Pearl Harbor's not what your parents think it was. We'll be having Parents Pearl Harbor Day in December. Oh, no talking. It goes without saying. Correct? Good. The FBI and ATF burned children your age alive at a place called Waco. They blew children your age to bits at a place called Oklahoma City. You brought your rugs. You were instructed to have nap time, 9:30 this morning. September 11, 2001, which you may or may not have heard of, was done by your own government to start wars, to make money for the wealthy men and women who actually run this country and this world. The word democracy, well, that's propaganda itself as used by the press in the United States. Voting and marching in parades in the middle of the street, those are virtually useless. Get any sense at all, you wouldn't come back tomorrow, but if you do, Well, if you do, we'll learn, we'll understand, we'll grow it. And in due time, we'll blow the lid off this pop stand.
This program is being brought to you in part by the Iowa Ministry of Fear. If you're not afraid, you're not trying. Look out your window. Gold finches. Used by terrorists. Bird feeders are common drop-off areas for terrorist stuff. Have you seen slow drivers in your neighborhood disguised as old ladies in white, blue, or gray hair slouched down so low it looks like nobody is driving? Terrorists. Call Walmart before it's too late. Be afraid. Be very afraid. We're your Iowa Ministry of Fear. We're also brought to you by a grant from Warm and Fuzzy Smallpox Blankets of Muncie, Indiana. Made in the USA, good old American know-how. Smallpox blankets, drone airplanes, anthrax, and nuclear weapons. Bombs, bullets, fighter planes, our products. Welcome to life in 21st century America, where our products are death, destruction, low-paying jobs, and the tossing overboard of the poor, sick, and elderly, all to support the war racket. Made in the USA, making America strong, keeping our neighborhoods strong, and our churches strong, our car dealerships strong, and our country clubs strong. Warm and Fuzzy, Smallpox Blankets of Muncie. I'd now like to bring on our first guest, Richard Flamer. Richard Flamer, well, he's been many things. He's been an anti-war activist, a soldier in Vietnam. He was a war photographer, and right now he's with his wife, is running or working or however you want to put it, at the Catholic Worker in Chiapas, Mexico. Richard, are you there?
I'm here.
How you doing?
Well, I think I'm all right. I'm never quite sure. You know, I get up and look on the internet and see all this massacre in Aurora, Colorado, and naturally I'm troubled, but the first thing that occurs to me is, okay, there's 12 dead. How come nobody talked about the 76 migrants that were slaughtered at a ranch in northern Mexico last year? Is this some sort of... I think it's the problem of nationhood, of we ought to be looking out for the planet and not just our little neck of the woods. It seems to me that this whole concept of nationhood, you know, like love it or leave it. Well, I left. And part of the reason I left was because of this short-sightedness, this narrowness of view. And I don't think that there's any way out of it if you're living in the U.S. You're stuck with what's there. And you know, you get trained from the very beginning to obey. And at some point, you have to decide who you're going to serve. You need to decide if you're going to serve the principality or the empire known as the U.S., or if you're going to find some other prince to serve. In my case, the Prince of Peace. And I'm not going to beat the drum for religion, although I think it certainly has a place, and I think it's, for me, it's been a great salvation. But just in looking at the way people view the world, it's just so deeply troubling to me. And it's in every aspect. I mean, everything from sports to... if it doesn't happen in America, it's not real. I remember a quote from St. Augustine, who said, a government without justice is nothing but organized crime. I have that sense that all governments are corrupt that way. But at least the one in Mexico where I'm living now is much more upfront about the corruption, you know, the vote buying, there were elections this last month, and many people that I know sold their vote for 200 pesos or about $20 to buy an extra tank of gas, cooking gas, propane. I understand that. But what I don't understand is how a country supposedly in a second world setting in Mexico can have five or six presidential candidates and actual opinions from differing candidates. And the U.S. has only two that are really just one. I don't get it. But maybe you have some answers, Chuck. I don't.
It's me today. It's Mike today, Rich.
Oh, Mike.
Tell me, I don't know, I have no answers. Tell me about what happened this week in Chiapas, anything. What'd you do this week?
What did I do this week? Oh, well, my wife is has been elected in our little community of 80 families to be in charge of the school. So she and I and two other volunteers put in a new electrical service in all three buildings of the little rural school, which now makes us eligible, or the school eligible, for computers, which is going to be decent for the kids at any rate. So I spent the Sunday and Monday working on the electrical system, and then working on our house and playing with the dogs and continuing to work on my garden the rest of the week. Although we had a friend of ours who got sick on Tuesday, so we went and picked up her kids and took care of kids at our place while she was in the hospital for 2 days when she just got out late this afternoon. So we had a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old with us for the last 2 days. And it's fun.
Cool.
Yeah.
You guys took a trip to the United States. Now, how long have you been back?
A couple of, about 5 weeks, 6 weeks we've been back. Araceli came and joined me at my cousin's house in outside of Kansas City. We had I had finished with all my work at the time, so we were sort of free to do whatever we wanted, and we roamed around and went to a couple of Catholic workers and a couple of small country churches around Independence, Missouri, which I liked a lot. They were really people of faith and a good feeling, a good sense. The problem that I have with that, I mean, one part of me just loves it, you know, the small communal churches. The other part of me is, wait a minute, you got to go farther. You know, this... I love liberals. I just really love them, but they have to understand that you have to give up part of yourself to make a difference, and sometimes that means that you give until it hurts, and it's what, after all, makes us different from cockroaches. And that's the problem I have with the liberal communities mostly. But anyway, we had a wonderful time and then went on up to Des Moines and the Catholic worker up there, where Araceli spoke to a gathering up there regarding the organic market and her women's group down here that are making organic products, organic soaps and shampoos and skin creams and teas and native medicine, and the nature of organizing with a different kind of culture, within Indian culture, and trying not to impose your will, but at the same time somehow get it organized.
I was going to ask about Araceli's visa. A while back it was a problem, but it all worked out for you.
Well, quite by accident, I'm sure. we went to Mexico City, and I spoke with some people at the embassy. They told me that they had no control over who got the visas, but they did let me write some letters, and I got almost, I had sent, had asked people the letters of support, and we had almost 70 letters there for the visa people to look at. And I think that's what changed it, at least from my perspective. There's no way knowing. But again, you know, the folks at the embassy were really good people who just are working for the government. I mean, you don't get an answer, you know, I don't understand it. It's just way beyond me. And when I talk to these, they're good, kind, decent people, some of them. And some, of course, are idiots. I just don't understand how they can be such decent people and work for the government. I mean, I don't get it, but there's a lot I don't get these days.
Rich, how can there's a website where people can go to see pictures and to read more about your story and the story of what you're doing? Where do people go for that?
Well, the old website got dropped somehow. I don't know.
Okay.
It got dropped, but you can go to the Des Moines Catholic Worker website, and they have several articles on us and what we're doing. And in the meantime, I'd love to have somebody help me set up a new website. But the fact of the matter is, we're so busy living that I just don't have time to go do the paperwork. I get up at 5 in the morning and read for an hour or two and fix breakfast for my wife, and then we go to work at the farm and come back and go to bed at when it gets dark. I mean, it's just a full day every day. But,
do you feel like giving out your email address for people who want to contact you and see what,
oh, sure,
maybe they can do? Okay.
Sure. It's Flamer Richard, FlamerRichard, @hotmail.com.
And
more power to you, and come visit, you know. Mike, come down when you get a chance. It's a fun place.
You can teach carpentry out here.
Actually, I was just talking with a guy this week about starting up classes again when I get we get electrical power to the house, which should be in 2 weeks. And I'm talking about starting carpentry classes again. I did them before, but this time we're going to do them using all hand tools, so that everybody, because that's what's available here. And I have all my grandfather's tools and my father's tools. So we got plenty of tools to work with, and we'll just keep plugging away at it.
So if somebody wanted to, they could come to Chiapas, they could email you, they could learn Spanish, and they could learn carpentry. That's a pretty good deal.
Sure. Just bring some money to eat with.
Speaking of that, where can people send donations to the Chiapas Catholic Worker?
The best way is to Holy Family Catholic Church, 1715 Izzard Street, that's I-Z-A-R-D Street, Omaha, Nebraska, 68102.
You said Holy Family, right?
Right.
Okay. All right. Well, Rich, I thank you for taking the time, and hello to everyone down there, and we hope we can talk to you again soon.
Okay. It's always a pleasure.
Same here.
Take care.
Have a good night, Richard.
The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. I've read JFK Assassination Fiction by Don DeLillo and Norman Mailer, and can tell you that this new novel not only is Mike's best book yet, it's much better than DeLillo's and Mailer's efforts to do justice to the most important event in U.S. history. Kevin Barrett, American activist and radio host. Johnny Moon tells the story of a third grader in a Catholic school who wants to do what President John F. Kennedy asked us all to do. Johnny has told his classmates he wants to go to the moon. In fact, he wants to be the first one on the moon, and so the kids brand him with the nickname Johnny Moon. Sister M&M's is Johnny's teacher. Her sister was in Dallas that day, right up close to the limousine taking pictures just as it happened. She saw some things that did not get reported back in Johnny's hometown Daily News. Sister M&M's and Johnny and the third grade Sacred Heart class decide to tell the truth about what happened. Harvey Wasserman on Johnny Moon. Mike Pelacek is a master of mixing the ethos of the heartland with great moments in history. His Johnny Moon evokes that time in our national story when getting to our favorite satellite was mated with a generation's coming of age. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek.
Just in, this late-breaking news brief. The House Un-American Activities Committee will be reconvening next week. The committee will be investigating un-American activities such as the murder of children in Iraq and Afghanistan, restricting of personal freedoms through the so-called Patriot Act, as well as the infiltration of American organizations by members of clandestine Homeland Security terror groups. Are you now, or have you ever been, a member of the Central Intelligence Agency? Appearing next week before the committee will be Dan Rather, Tom Brokaw, Matt Lauer, Katie Couric, Diane Sawyer, Brian Williams, and Wolf Blitzer. And for what reason, we have no idea. We'd also like to shout out to those men and women serving in 10,000 countries and municipalities, islands, peninsulas, knolls, glens, gullies, inlets, deltas, fjords, and firths overseas, serving in Berlin and Aachen and Baden and Pfaffen and Mumm and Dierdorf and Daden and Doster and Bronzer and Donder and Blitzen. We need you. For what reason, we have no idea, but thank you for all you do. We're pleased to send you 50% of our tax dollars. For what reason, we have no idea. But because you're there and they thank you at ball games on commercials, hey, we thank you for all you do. For what reason? We have no idea.
And now for your third period American history moment. Things that should be but never will be mentioned in a United States junior high or high school history class. If Americans knew their real history rather than the nursery rhyme Disneyland version, George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush would not be able to ride together in a golf cart down the third baseline at an American baseball game to the cheers of the crowd. Rather, they would be greeted with tomatoes, fists, and handcuffs. And that's the truth. Any talk about wackos or conspiracy theories are just smoke screens from the decoder rings of the guilty. You believe them and call the ones crazy who are trying with all their hearts and souls to tell you the truth. The Bushes know it too and are just pitching themselves each morning, unable to believe they have been able to succeed on monstrous lies for so long. Join us next week on Third Period American History Moment when we talk about naming airports and highways after good people rather than idiots and bad people. Have a good night and sleep tight. High five and happy times.
And now we'd like to welcome our second guest, Ben Mansky. Ben is the campaign manager for Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate for president. And he's also got some great credentials in his own right. He's the principal attorney at Mansky Law. And does a lot of things in the activist movement. Ben, welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I hadn't heard about Jill Stein before sometime last week. I have a feeling a lot of our listeners are in the same boat. So I would like you to start off by telling us who she is and what she's all about.
Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of people will be hearing about her who haven't yet heard about her, the reality of this campaign. Yeah, I think it's almost a foregone conclusion, because the reality of this campaign is that we are doing this the old-fashioned way. It's a campaign where we're building from the bottom up. And the reason why I think you probably heard about her last week is that we have developed the kind of capacity with this campaign that has caused more people in the media, more people in general, to sit up and take notice. We're going to be on the ballot in most states across the country. We're shooting for 45 states, and I think we're going to do it. We are the first Green Party campaign to secure federal matching funds, which is a very significant step forward. What that means is when people contribute to Jill Stein at jillstein.org, the first $250 of their contributions are matched dollar for dollar, and that is a big boost as well. And the reason, I think part of the reason why we've been able to get to this point is that Dr. Stein is somebody who really brings a lot of credibility and experience as a campaigner to this race. She was not somebody who came up in electoral politics. She is a medical doctor, a physician, who in the 1990s saw the increase in childhood obesity, asthma, other types of epidemics affecting especially children and the elderly that had environmental causes. And as a physician, she wanted to do something about that. She became very involved in advocating not only against toxics in the environment, but also for single-payer universal health care in her home state of Massachusetts. And in the process of doing that, came to the conclusion that the reason why we weren't able to get progressive policies that help people implemented was because the political system itself is sick. It's not just our children who are being sickened, but our political system is sick. And she became a leader in the fight for publicly financed elections, for clean elections in Massachusetts. And they won. They won. They actually got the voters to vote for it through a statewide initiative. And then the following year, the state legislature, dominated by the Democratic Party, got rid of publicly financed elections. That's when she joined the Green Party. Now, that was some time ago. Dr. Stein has run for office. She has held local office in Massachusetts. She was the gubernatorial candidate for the Green Party in Massachusetts in 2002 when one of her opponents was a man named Mitt Romney. And she actually took part in the debates, the televised debates statewide, with Mr. Romney several times, and came out of those debates declared the winner by the media, not just the independent media, but, you know, the Boston Globe and the Boston Herald. So she is somebody who is very clear. She's very courageous. She is an attractive candidate, and we've been able to build quite a campaign around this. Her main message this year is that we need a Green New Deal for this country, that the types of so-called solutions that the establishment parties are bandying about don't come even close to addressing the incredible unemployment and climate problems that we have right now, and that what we actually can do, and we can do for the same cost as Mr. Obama's first stimulus package, roughly just under $1 trillion, is we can end unemployment entirely in this country. We can create 25 million jobs, 16 million directly through public works and through green jobs and pink jobs, so-called, child care, other types of services, and then also indirectly create another 8 to 9 million jobs. So that's what she's campaigning on. I invite people who are listening in to go to jillstein.org. You can read the full Green New Deal program there. You can find out more about her. And you can also sit through a 45-minute address in which she goes through and talks about the policies that comprise this agenda for transforming our economy.
That sounds really good. I'm not convinced that any candidate can pull it off with the way that the, I don't know, the military industrial complex or whatever seems to be in charge very strongly. But that brings up another question. What would you do about getting rid of the wars of aggression that America's involved in all over the world?
Absolutely. I mean, she is a Green, and the Green Party, of course, was formed as a party of nonviolence, a party of social justice, of ecology. And the reality is that until we end wars for oil and also other wars of aggression, we will not be able to achieve the type of society, the type of economy that works for most people here at home. We're spending over $1 trillion a year on this policy of empire. So as with every other member of the Green Party in the United States, Dr. Stein is very clear. We have to immediately cut military spending 50% and then move on from there. We have to bring home, and she will bring home, all the troops and military bases from overseas. It is not the role of the United States or any other nation state to act as the world's policeman. And we will apply the savings from cutting this bloated military budget, which, let's be clear, most of that is going directly into the hands of the profiteers and the contractors. There's really very little concern for veterans when you look at the impact on veterans as they come home. And so we will apply... instead, we apply the savings towards the Green New Deal, towards education, towards moving to a sustainable economy, towards basically transforming America to become the kind of country that I think so many of us have always believed that we can and should be. You said something earlier, though, that I think is important. We do have a military-industrial complex that is very well entrenched, and I don't think anybody should be so foolish as to think that merely electing somebody to office will change the country in and of itself. But what I would say is that the election of a Green president, an election of Dr. Stein and her running mate, Sherry Kampala, to the White House would represent and come as part of a larger change in this country by convincing people that we can act with courage, that we must act with courage, that we must actually vote for the changes that the times require, that we require ourselves, that our children require, then we will be strengthening not only the Green Party and Dr. Stein's campaign, but we'll also be strengthening this larger movement for democracy, which has been stirring in this country. I'm from Wisconsin, and we stood up first, and we're still fighting here. People all across the country have stood up as well this past year and a half. In the movement against Citizens United, the move to amend the Constitution. You see it with the Veterans for Peace that are meeting in just a week and a half in Florida. There's renewed anti-war sentiment among veterans. I think that we have a broader movement here for which Dr. Stein is the electoral voice. So we're all in this together.
Well, that really sounds good. I'm concerned that it's just sounds good. My concern is that, well, there's the old thing, anytime there's a third party candidate, you always wonder if there's really any possible way that the third party candidate can get elected. And if not, if voting for the third party candidate is going to change the course of the election by putting in the worst of the two evils at the top.
So there's a fear that if people vote for Jill Stein, for example, then Barack Obama might get elected.
I'm worried that Barack Obama
might get elected. Because it would be a shame if somebody were elected who violated the Constitution, who believed that he had the authority to invade countries without an authorization of Congress, to extrajudicially assassinate children, to up U.S. deployments to Afghanistan, and so on. I mean, it would be a shame if somebody like that were president. But, of course, he is right now. And to be honest with you, I have family in Massachusetts, which is Dr. Stein's home state. And as she said, when Mitt Romney was replaced by Deval Patrick, who was a good friend of the president, she couldn't see any, there was no daylight between the two in terms of their policies. I mean, let's be clear. There is a political establishment in this country, and there is a establishment on Wall Street and in Dallas, and they hedge their bets. They invest in both of the major parties. But what I would say about so-called third parties or independent parties is that we have evidence that independent parties can and do make change in this country, because if it were not for independent parties of the past, we would not have women's suffrage. We would not have Social Security. We would not have child welfare laws. We would not have the right to organize. We would not have the abolition of slavery. The reality is that third parties, independent parties, have been successful in the past. They have been successful in recent times. In fact, there have been Greens. There are several hundred Greens in office right now around the country in local office. They have been at the front lines of fighting for things like local minimum wage laws, living wage laws, sick leave laws, getting cities to stand up and oppose the illegal invasion of Iraq. That was led by Greens at the local level. Just imagine what we can do as we win elections at higher levels of office.
Well, you've given us a lot to think about, and it really does sound good. I will be watching, and I haven't made a decision yet, but your candidate sounds great.
She's wonderful. Please, you know, everybody should go in onto jillstein.org, take a look, find out about what she stands for, and get involved. If you make the decision to support the campaign, I think everybody who's listening definitely should, then get involved, sign up, and find out how you can help out.
All right. Well, Ben, thank you for spending time with us today. And maybe in a couple months, once your campaign gets rolling, maybe we'll try to talk to you again and see what's up.
All right. Hey, take care.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You too. Take care.
We're proud to be sponsored this week by the Minutemen, guarding America's borders from poor people. Our own great-grandparents were poor, and they came here from other places. Huddled masses, yearning to be free, taking aim at frightened lasses, crouching by a tree. We urinate on the Statue of Liberty. We defecate on Ellis Island. We've got ours crunched right in our cold, dead, clammy hands. In just 60 seconds, we're able to desecrate the whole idea of America. We're the Minutemen.
If you are a good American, then with all the poking and probing, you might well be asking yourself, am I a terrorist? Well, the Center for American Studies has put together a handy brochure, now available in most U.S. interstate rest areas, called Mommy, Am I a Terrorist? Well, here's some excerpts. If you are driving past a policeman in the United States, you might be a terrorist. If your Reader's Digest subscription is expired, you might be a terrorist. If you order a salad, you might be a terrorist. If you are walking down the street, you might be a terrorist. If your American flag on your front porch flapping in the spring breeze is not larger than a circus tent, you might be a terrorist. If you are directing by remote control from the portico off the Rose Garden while smoking a cigarette surreptitiously in your pajamas, a drone airplane that hits the home of a family in a small town in Pakistan and rips their arms and legs from their bodies, their heads from their shoulders, and forever destroys the lives of their extended family, you might be a terrorist. Additional funding for tonight's program is also provided by GoBarbaraBush.com, as well as the United States Navy, a global force for good, the United States Army, be all you can be, the United States Air Force, peace is our profession, and the United States Marines, the few, the proud, the brave, because we can't tell you the truth.
And make sure to check out, starring in the new hit movie, Barack Obama, Special Agent 00 of Change. He flies. No, he crawls. He speaks. No, he lies. saves the people. He does great things. No, he doesn't. Barack Obama, Special Agent 00. In theaters now. Or not.
Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. We're all really trying to help out in any way we can with Homeland Security. Lots of people are putting up fences around their homes, and they're also building a fence to keep out the people from Mount Smith. The city council and county commissioners are planning a fishing weekend to talk about a mosquito net over the city to keep out aliens. That's not supposed to be legal according to the open meeting laws for everyone to be together like that and whisper to each other inside the boat, but there's also some talk about whether the open meeting laws are still in effect under the Patriot Act. Anyway, hey, there goes Tommy Michael Moskowitz. He's a kid. A kid on a bike in a hurry in a small town, thinking this town is the whole world. So exciting, so much happening, so cool.
Well, I've got to hurry. Building a new fence. This one's over behind Foods Foods. It's me, Tommy. How you doing? Pedaling as fast as I can. Somebody said there's Negroes on the construction crew. And girls. They'll be building fences all summer. They have to. It's law. There goes a swarm. About a million little kids. Whole bunch. Cars are backed up for 3 blocks. Worse than a train, my mom says. Hey, Cleo. Hey, Cleopatra. To her brother and sister. One's a cat. Cleopatra's a dog. They're always together. Maybe they don't have anybody else. I'm following the swarm. They're going over yards, fences, down alleys. The fences most people have around their yards by now don't stop the swarm. Goes under, around, over, through anything. Right through a house sometimes. Back door to front, taking all the food inside like locusts. Oh, moonwalking. She doesn't see me. I'm going too fast. Nobody can probably see me. I'm flying. She's the head librarian. She's arguing with Don the cop. He's got a corner post under his arm. Hey, Don. Hey, there's Robert S. Thompson. He's the old guy on the bench on Main Street.
Well, it's true. Everyone is putting up fences. Christopher, or Christoph, as I believe he has asked his parents to refer to him, our high school student state legislator, was instrumental in getting a bill passed that mandates personal fences to go along with the national north and south border fences, the fence now being constructed around the state, and those that will soon be separating counties. It's all part of Homeland Security. Fences around town keeps us safe. I feel pretty safe, I guess. Safe as the next guy. I do have the bedroom window open a crack all winter, though. I'm not sure how that all works, but they say they've heard of some folks going to sleep at night and never waking up. I'm not quite ready for that just yet. And in the summer, I like to hear the birds. Christopher says that if we're going to all that trouble to keep people out of the country and then we just let them traipse around wherever they want in town, that just defeats the purpose, I suppose. I'm not going to watch the fence building. I've seen lots.
Last winter, the highway department put up snow fence out by the highway like they always do to keep snow from Canada or Russia or wherever from blocking the road. This time they put razor wire on top. I guess it's permanent. Everybody in the cafe, hello, I'm Nona. Everyone in here these days is talking about the fences. Fences, fences. Everybody likes them. They love them. They don't have any choice. If you don't put up a fence around your property, you go to jail. But if it keeps everyone safe, that's what they want. Safe from what? Win from Russia, maybe. I don't know. Let me think about it. They paint the fences, put up lights, wreaths, paint pictures on them. They just love them. Just love them. Can't imagine how we ever got along without them. Commies. Sorry, I just came out. Now everyone's looking out the windows and under their tables. But there's something the fences might keep us safe from. they still have commies? I'm going fast now, really fast. I can just barely still see the swarm. I hear sirens. It's got to be Don. New National Guard trucks don't have sirens. He must have spotted the swarm. I'm going to stop. It's no use. I like the new stop sign. My mom says there's big bees coming up from Mexico to get it. I was just headed out the door. She was still talking with the screen slammed. I'm pretty sure she wasn't talking about the swarm, something different. Fences stop terror. That's what the signs say. See? All I had to do was put the two stickers above and below the stop. Gutner had to do that. I rode along on a whole Saturday in the back of the city pickup, keeping the papers from the sticker thing from flying out. Oh, well, see you. Hey, Don.
Robert S. Thompson here. It's getting to be a long, hot summer, but many dark and stormy nights with a palpable chill in the air. When I sit out here on my bench, I wear a wool top coat on some mornings. Other days, the sun shines bright, but still the warmth it provides does not match its luster. I have my fence around my home, got that done just this past week, finally. I have not been out to see Abu go big red. Some have said it's lovely. Some say it's just a prison, like all the others. You do not see drug dealers or terrorists around here, that's for sure. There were none before the prison was constructed either, but you cannot deny there are none here ever since as well. Most people feel even safer knowing it's there. Some have seen white vans pulling in there with individuals inside in turbans and towels and sombreros. Well, I doubt this account, but an associate of mine said some of those driving the vans have heads shaped like human excrement. Aliens, perhaps. Or not, but still it's odd, very odd. It is much safer here since the controlled movement ordinance was passed by the council. You find that you really don't need to be out and about at all hours. You budget your time, get used to it. After a while, you don't notice it.
Hey, the special today is, let me check again. I'm putting out these new Open Your Eyes posters, one for the front window and these little ones at the table. Oh, it's bacon and eggs. You get toast and coffee with that. Moonwalking, she comes in here. She doesn't want a fence around the library. She's been fighting it. Seeing some of the wing nuts who go in there to read. She doesn't have one at her house either, I guess. Her mother must be kind of weird, too. The ones who don't put up a fence get visited. There's guys from the Legion, VFW, Tuesday Night Bowling League, the Roy Scouts. They come to the house. Sometimes it's after midnight. I heard once at 5 in the morning. And after that, they put up the fence. Somebody said something about moonwalking. They reported her, I guess. That's what I heard him say at breakfast a couple days ago. It says the name. She can't be from around here. It's all well and good, but then why don't you just leave then if she's not from here? That's what everybody says. My parents came from Germany and Ireland. Well, my grandparents. Like I said, really be Germany, Ireland, Norway, Netherlands. Came here fair and square. They didn't tunnel under a fence or go over a fence or around a fence. They walked right in through the front door. They didn't have to sneak. Didn't need to hide. They held their heads high. Hey, it's me. Me, Tommy, you know? What's going on tonight? Oh, watch people mow. How big's your house? Big hamburgers. And Mom, fix the bathroom. Everybody's watching. Somebody said they saw the list. Somebody had it and they saw it. Called Christopher's List, named after the high school kid legislator who lives in the house with the hoop on the glass blackboard. That's the one on 9th Street. Some people are on it. They said moonwalking's on it. On top.
Robert S. Thompson here. At your service, as it were. Well, now that's a new one. It says here in the Wednesday Miracle that the fences are an excellent idea, and that any aliens from other countries who don't want to be here should just not come here anyway. And what's with all this stuff at Foo's Foods? There's one whole aisle of salsa and taco mix and burritos, enchiladas. It's like, of course people are going to come here with all this food we got. What's the deal with that? Some of the Citizens Patrol, the Roy Scouts, all the members are named Roy or change their name to Roy in order to be admitted or get deputized as Roy's. Well, they're starting to wear bee-tender masks, headgear, individual fences. They say it makes them proud to be an American. I can see how it might. Should be quite the deal. There is also some plan in the works to do something about the wackos who sit in the library reading the magazines and newspapers. Oh, I used to go there myself, but I haven't been there in years, I can assure you. And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security part-time summer help bounty hunters are about average.
And that wraps up another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We'd like to thank our sponsors, thespiritualun.org, worldnewstrust.com, and June2508.com. We hope you'll come back again to listen next week. Same time, same place. Thank you and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founders' version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org. Come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org